Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 28th of April, recording at 4:51 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, firstly, highlights in here. Stock markets are barely steady at the very best, but mostly under a bit of pressure in here. The one factor, well, maybe there are two factors that are lending some support here. One is the short-term oversold condition for a number of indices, but that's really not producing much more than the dead cat bounce. And the other factor, which is helping and may help a little bit more, is the crude oil price, currently back to $50 on the NYME price. That's down down about 150 in here again today. Now, 50 is a little bit of psychological support, but I wouldn't be awfully surprised if that didn't give way, since we've got a medium-term correction underway in the price of crude oil. I've been saying that for a while, and I wrote a little piece on it today in the comment. Among currencies, not much going on here today. The dollar is slightly steady, though, as it has been for the last 3 or 4 days. Precious metals getting hit. They are suffering from the sell-off that we're seeing in stock markets and this talk of slower economic growth. This is a dangerous period for any long investments, in my view. And people may say, well, what about the government bonds? If other things are weakening, growth slowing, people are expecting further efforts to rein in those modest inflationary pressures from central banks, wouldn't that favor the government bonds? Well, yes, possibly, but that's not a value area, and I regard them as quite dangerous as well. I favor liquidity overall. Okay, let's go back to the equity markets here in terms of what we're actually seeing. The best that I can look for on the upside from stock markets would be a little bit of top extension beneath the highs that we've seen earlier this year. Now, the only markets that are really bucking this trend are not significant internationally or globally in terms of leadership. Middle Eastern stock markets, I mentioned those yesterday. Have a look at some of the charts if you are interested in the fantastic chart library that Owen has created. This just gets better day by day. What we are going to add, incidentally, is a new drop-down menu that will be slightly more effective, because with over 400 instruments on there now, the current drop-down menu is a little bit cumbersome. But I think that library is fantastic, and I wish I had more time to pore over it every day, because you see plenty of good ideas in going through the point and figure charts, which I like to look at first, and then the weekly candlesticks, and then if I'm still interested, the daily candlestick charts within that fabulous library. And thanks to all of you for the components, because your thoughts and suggestions have certainly been listened to and certainly for the most part implemented in beefing up that library, and we will continue to do so. Okay, so in terms of these stock markets, which might get the best bounces? Well, I don't think it's going to be in the US. I don't think it's going to be among the European indices, which held out a little longer before starting to crumble. I think they could be quite vulnerable. Maybe, having mentioned that relative outperformance by the Middle Eastern stock markets, and as I say, that's not just oil prices, and oil prices are in retreat anyway. My hunch is it's just a few fund management groups plus some local speculation, and we've seen markets bid up in a vacuum of supply, so it's good old liquidity once again, and that they will shortly come down even faster than they went up. That's what we have seen certainly with the Eastern European stock markets. That's what we've seen with most of the South American stock markets. And indeed, we have seen a good many of the developed country stock market indices retreat faster than they rallied to their highs earlier this year. Markets usually do fall fall more quickly. Now, I was just having a brief conversation with a savvy friend in talking about, well, I think it stated my conclusion that I've mentioned here previously, that I'd be surprised if we saw a meaningful stock market rally before Alan Greenspan starts to cut interest rates once again. And he said, well, that might be sooner than most people actually think. Well, possibly, depending on events. But I said it would probably depend more on what the stock market did, the U.S. stock market did, rather than the economic data. Because all this statistic du jour stuff, first there's contradictory evidence, and people are currently debating whether the U.S. economy is going to be strong at, say, 3.8 GDP growth or lower at 3.3% GDP growth. I take those numbers with a grain of salt anyway. I think they're hyped up somewhat, but that's beside the point. The more important thing is that I think the Fed, having talked about raising interest rates further, would be hard-pressed to turn around in the short term on the basis of economic data. I think they're more likely to be influenced by what actually happens with the stock market. So the question I asked was, at what level do you think the U.S. stock market would perhaps pressure the Fed to become involved? And he paused on the question, but looking at a chart of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is what the Fed would probably watch, thought that it would be unlikely to occur before the 9,000 level. So that's at least another 11% on the downside. And the history of downward reactions during rising interest rates, the history of market corrections within secular bear trends, is that they move down pretty persistently and rapidly. And therefore, I continue to expect the surprises to be on the downside, regardless of what the oil price does. And I have said that I can only see a soft oil price temporarily adding a little bit of support to what's a weak story in terms of stock market indices. So cash is king in this environment right now, and I would view any rally as a selling opportunity. I wouldn't think about buying any shares, trying to buy relative performance, which I know a lot of investment managers feel they have to do, and I've certainly got a lot of investment managers among my subscriber base. But it's a bit of a mug's game in here, and people say, well, go in and buy pharmaceutical companies for their defensive characteristics and current relative strength. Well, a lot of people are piling into those, and then the sector will get nailed, and it is kind of standing with your back in the in the window frame of the open window frame, I should say, on the 10th story here. I'd much rather just have the cash. Those who can play the market both ways, you know my stance. I want to be hedged heavily to the short side, and I haven't really completed my short selling. Government bonds, a little bit steadier in here today. I'm looking for the next opportunity to resell some treasury bonds, but I can appreciate that while stock markets are weak, they may hold up for a while longer. But overall, this is top development for bond prices, and we are in the early stages of a secular bear market, although the current activity is mostly characterized by ranging. U.S. dollar, we probably haven't seen the full extent of its moderate medium-term technical rally. But you know my view for this year, for the most part, is that we'll see ranging activity before we eventually see a retest of the lows, and probably a move slightly below the historic lows in the dollar index. I post some dollar index charts weekly and daily today, but you'd need the monthlies to see the historic lows, which are between 80 and 78. We'll see those levels challenged, I believe, but possibly not this year. Or certainly not in the next few months, in my view. In terms of the commodity markets, secular bull trend, but there are too many headwinds here at present. The rising interest rates, which increases the cost of carry, the weaker stock market activity, which raises concern about slowdown in GDP growth, and therefore less demand. Having mentioned the higher cost of carry, I should also mention the contracting liquidity pool by most measures. It's not something I'm able to measure myself, but I follow other people's data on global liquidity, and it all appears to be contracting at the moment. These factors are certainly negative. People are not talking about how fast the various different economies are going to be expanding. They're talking about how much growth may be pared over the next several months, and that's headwind for these commodity markets. So it's a bit dangerous out here. I have cut back my exposure. I had closed my gold longs a few weeks ago. I closed my palladium longs yesterday. I still have some platinum, but not a great deal. I have more silver. I'll continue to play that one, but it's a riskier environment at this stage. I would not be trying to encourage anyone into silver trading on the long side at this stage. Currently, where I'm looking at spot silver near the $7 level, I wouldn't be surprised to see $6.50 before $7.50. Why am I still participating? Well, I think it's got enough volatility. It is a secular bull trend, and if provided we continue to get the volatility, then I would not be adverse to picking it up on weakness on the baby steps basis and looking to trade it out again on another rally, which I would certainly expect at least by the time the US dollar starts to weaken once again. And as you've seen before with silver, it can move pretty sharply in both directions. And what would worry me the most regarding silver would be if it just went dead flat, and that's also a risk in this environment. In terms of today's action, down 5 on palladium right now, down 13 and a 13 on silver. Gold's only down a little bit, 431.84, but its gains were pared back yesterday. I've already mentioned crude oil tested the $50 level before steadying a bit. Platinum down 6 or 7, 864, so again fell back from the higher side of its range, as I mentioned yesterday. And among the industrial metals, mixed in here. Few modest gains to unchanged showing, but again, they're susceptible in this current environment. But interestingly, the backwardations which existed for 4 of the 5 LME traded industrial metals remain, so it shows that there is still some real user demand occurring there. I think that's pretty much it. Recording early today, as I've got another event off to see the lovely and talented violinist Anne Sophie Mutter again at playing for the London Philharmonic Orchestra at the Royal Festival Hall. I hope you're doing something equally interesting and stimulating, and whatever that might be. All the best.